our why is to help authors.
What is the most contrarian take about building a business that you have?
Go where everybody else is not. So at 18 years old, I would say, look up what an entrepreneur is. Because I think there's a misnomer. I think there's this, it's a glamorized thing that people don't understand. It becomes this like, oh, I want to be an entrepreneur. And the question is why? What are you trying to accomplish? And that goes back to anything that you're doing on this planet. It's like, what's your why? Define it. Yeah, it's like, oh, because I want to make a bunch of money. There's a billion different ways to make money. You don't have to be an entrepreneur to do that. What is it that you're trying to do?
All right, welcome back to the Middle Tech Podcast. You've got Logan Jones and Evan Knowles here. Today, we are bringing a guest back on the podcast that has not been on since May of 2021. So we're talking to Buddy Bockweg of vSimple, awesome company being built in, we'll call it Kentuckiana.
Kentuckiana,
yeah, well, New Albany, which is right across the river from Louisville.
Yep.
We're super excited to talk to Buddy about all the growth that they have experienced and all the changes and lessons and successes and challenges that the business has faced since we had him on back in 2021. So before we dive into that, we just want to get a quick word from our sponsors. Before highlighting our sponsors, we'd just like to state that the views and content shared on this platform do not necessarily reflect those of our show sponsors. Middle Tech is presented by KY Innovation, the Kentucky Cabinet for Economic Development's Office of Entrepreneurship. KY Innovation exists to support and develop Kentucky's startup ecosystem, and we are proud to be supported by an organization whose mission aligns so closely with ours. If you're a founder building in Kentucky, you need to check out the resources that KY Innovation has to offer. You can find more information by clicking the link in our show notes or going to kyinnovation.com.
Middle Tech is sponsored by Bolt Marketing. Take your website to the next level with a website that's built to work. At Bolt Marketing, they're revolutionizing websites for small businesses that are affordable, customizable, and hassle-free. Whether you have a construction company, a boutique clothing store, or you own a hot yoga studio, they have options for you. Click the link in our show notes to explore their marketing options that can transform your marketing and grow your business. And as a personal note, Bolt Marketing built our website and they were awesome to work with throughout the entire process. We highly recommend working with
them. All right, buddy. Like I mentioned, May of 2021, it's been a long time since we last got to speak on this podcast.
Oh, yeah.
So we're really excited to dive into everything that's kind of gone on. But first off, thank you for making the drive from Louisville to Lexington to talk to us like you did the last time.
No, it's... I love this. I love what you all do for our community, getting the word out, the message. I also love the fact that we can do it in relationship instead of, I got enough Zooms in my life.
For sure.
Like we're an hour and 15 minutes down the road.
Yeah.
Let's get together, break some bread and identify how we can really help each other. So.
Absolutely. And one of the other things that you do that we love is you bring us a bunch of goodies, a bunch of merch. You rolled in with stuff last time and now I've got the vSimple shirt on. I had to rep it for the recording as well as we got a whole goodie bag of stuff. I'm excited to dig into there later. And then Evan and I are excited to show you one of our favorite things after the recording, which is Ramirez Taqueria. We'll give them a shout out on the podcast. Some of the best tacos in Lexington. But let's go ahead and dive into talking about vSimple.
Yep.
So it's been a while since you come on. I'm sure many of our listeners, this will be a new business for them to learn about. So just give us the elevator pitch on vSimple to start things off and then we'll start digging in.
Yeah. So yeah, you look at 2 years in the software life and it feels like an eternity. It is the transformation over the past couple of years has been tremendous. But vSimple, it was originally born out of an idea to ensure that companies can better manage the operations of their business, be able to connect, communicate, collaborate, and kind of operate better. At the very beginning, we had no idea how we were actually going to execute that. And in 2021, it was just starting to come together. We had landed a first couple clients. We had an opportunity to build something that we thought was going to be revolutionary. We just didn't know exactly what it was going to look like. Over the course of 2 years, we've been able to take that and kind of morph that into a truly revolutionary product and service model that coincides to help companies really increase and improve not only the speed at which they do things and the ability to do more, with less bodies or less effort. But we've also added this really interesting visibility around data and being able to kind of pull all this information into a space, eliminate all the technologies that you used to use to do these things, and become the platform that your company utilizes pre-revenue all the way to cash.
So what kind of customers are you working with? You know, I know 2021, heavy manufacturing, logistics, kind of hardware, kind of hard tech products, forklifts, stuff like that. So talk about kind of what your customers are doing.
Yeah. So we came in the world to actually, the product that we created was very horizontal. Like, it's for every business, which means it's no for no business. So we became diligent about identifying the verticals that we wanted to attack. And that came about really from my past, which was supply chain, which was distribution and manufacturing and construction. So we identified the need in the markets, and from the need in the markets, we were able to go, okay, if we're going to go after these organizations and they're needing what we do, not just from a product perspective, but from a service perspective as well, let's attack it. And we had a lot of people telling us, don't do it, right? Lagging adopters of technology. It's going to be hard to sell into the market. It's going to be, you know, once you get in, it's going to be an impossible thing for you to kind of move through organizations. And over the past 3 years, we've kind of proven them all wrong. So
that was kind of where I wanted to spend a little bit of the conversation on as well, is selling software into the industries that you're selling them into.
Yeah.
Just because they're not, you know, typically thought of as businesses that really utilize software to its fullest extent. So first off, I'd love to just hear about, you know, any challenges or learnings from selling into these different industries, and then how kind of the macroeconomic conditions over the past few years has influenced that as well. Because I'm sure all of those businesses have been affected by the way the economy has been functioning over the past few years as well.
Yeah, great question, Logan. We're selling into the markets. So because I had sold into the markets before, I kind of had an idea of the best approach to do it, which was counterintuitive in the SaaS space. There is no paid marketing. There is no, we're not advertising. We're not out there with, you know, Facebook. And what we're doing is joining associations. We're physically showing up on people's doorsteps. We are ensuring that they understand the value from day one. And then we're clearly communicating and staying with these companies pre-contract to contract to post-contract, because it's necessary for these organizations, because it's not what they do every day. So the sales process really started. We had an event that we hosted. We had just gotten funded. And at that time, we said, hey, let's figure out how we can actually make a name for ourselves in the industry. And so we joined an association. We went to the convention. We hosted a gigantic party. We invited them all in. We did a bourbon tasting, and then we took them all to a concert. And we made lots of friends really quick, which was fantastic. But from the relationships grew the understanding of we are different, that we're not just trying to sell them something, that we're actually trying to help them. And when they let their guard down and they let us in, they truly see that that's heartfelt. Like, that's who we are as an organization and who we are as people.
To pause you on that for a second.
Yeah.
Because I think that is a learning that I experienced in the company that I was with for the past 3.5 years at Sales River. Selling software, or selling probably anything, into legacy industries requires you to get in front of them and build the relationship. Yeah. And I think that going out and going to conferences or joining associations and putting together events that bring people together in person, for us, that proved to be our most successful channel for customer acquisition. It sounds like that was the same for you as well. And
absolutely,
I know that was definitely your case as well with Simba.
Yeah. And I had a follow-up question to that. So yeah, with Simba, one, it was very highly relational, human industry. Sounds like you're selling into similar, but it's very fragmented. And so that caused us to realize that sales cycles and kind of the go-to-market is not one that really we found out mapped well to venture capital, where you have to move so fast and grow at a certain pace to make sure that you can even raise the next round.
Yeah.
What have you experienced on that front where, you know, highly relational, very long sales cycles, very service-driven models sometimes don't map to your capital stack needs? So how 100%. Have you faced that? And is that a problem with you or not?
Yeah, Evan, that's a great question, because if you're going to have long sales cycles, you better have high dollar ACV.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You better be able to collect and earn the money that you're physically charging. And you better have a significant length of time for LTV. So when we started vSimple, there's two things that we held in high regard: net revenue retention and lifetime value. We knew that if we can get into an organization and we could help them transform, and it's a digital transformation, but it's also a lot of change management. But once we were in and they saw the value, we were confident that they were actually going to continue to add people and add things and continue to want to do more within our place. And 3 years ago, that was theory. Today we've proofed that. And to your point, you can't do that if your, you know, your annual recurring revenue for a client is $5,000, right? We started at about $15,000-$20,000, and we worked our way up into the, you know, $40,000+, and the goal being that it's $50,000-$60,000 a year is the average. So we've got companies that are paying us well in excess of six figures, and some smaller clients that we're just getting started with. The hope is that we grow them up. But for that, the value that we add has to be tremendous.
Yeah, for sure.
No doubt. And one of the places that to kind of thread this back to where you were originally going with that first question, before we started talking, you were talking about this process of like the consolidation of software stacks, of tech stacks. And I think that's very correlated to some of these macroeconomic conditions that have been going on lately, and you know, these big companies trying to consolidate their tech spend. Talk about that, how that's kind of influenced how the business has been built, what direction you've taken it, what sorts of things you've focused on, stuff like that.
Yeah, Logan, we saw early on that organizations were just working with a tremendous amount of tools, and the vast majority of tools, and that's the tech stack, right? All the different softwares that they utilized. And the vast majority of them added little to no value, right? They were tucked in departments, or they're individualized, or they were, you know, this person likes Monday, this person likes Trello, marketing does this, and sales does that, and we've got Salesforce and ERP, and it was like, and companies over the course of 15, 20 years have just accumulated a lot of software. When times get tough, right, and they have for a lot of the industries that we are a part of, you start to see them go, what are we doing? Right? Like, why do we have 17 project management softwares? Like, this doesn't make any sense. Why do we have Teams and Zoom and Slack? Like, what, or do we, can we not just consolidate and identify, right? Like, and we're starting to see, it starts with big organizations, right? As they start to look at and explore and identify, how do I actually improve not only what we do, but, you know, the profitability in which we can gain from it. But we're seeing it happen in every industry. It's this, and unfortunately, what's happening in the software side, as you all know, with AI, tools have gone nuts. Like, I mean, last I looked, and this was a couple weeks ago, there were 10,000 new AI tools, software companies that have been created.
Rappers.
Yeah, yeah. So it becomes this, like, as companies are consolidating and trying to figure out, more tools keep popping up for these people to like, oh, I can do this to help me write emails, and I can do this to search the web, and I can do this to, you know, pull together data, and I can do, and it's like, well, hold on a second. They're trying to get you to go in reverse. And I think companies at this point are going, time out. AI is great. It's something that we want in our future, but we need to take a step back and truly understand, how are we going to incorporate this responsibly, securely, and truly find a partner that knows how to do this for us.
Yeah. We're in such early, and I mean, it's only been a year and a half, 2 years now, that AI, these large language models, have generative AI in general, has existed. So it's definitely going to go through cycles, and we're in a hype cycle.
Yeah.
And the ones that survive are not going to be the ones that are building wrappers. They're going to be the ones that are, you know, creating new workflows or integrating themselves into existing workflows. And part of it's also going to be, you know, consolidation. Private equity is about to go crazy.
Mm-hmm.
When this cycle, kind of the hype cycle, falls, private equity is going to go crazy, because you're going to want consolidation when there's AI, because you're going to want that AI to be able to have access to much more data. And the more you consolidate your software stack, the more, you know, it's going to have access to data. So it's going to be really interesting how this cycle plays out. But, you know, another thing I've noticed as I'm building an AI product is that most software actually is going to have to, in a lot of ways, re-architect the way that they're handling their data for large language models to have access to it.
Exactly.
So there's also going to be a cycle of the incumbents that can't pivot their technical architectures to even effectively use AI. Mm-hmm. The ones that are kind of coming in and doing the workflows that are architecting their product to leverage AI are going to, you know, take market share. 100%. So it's just going to be super interesting over the next several years. And it's fun and exciting to know that we're only truly probably a year in of knowing how to build a safe AI product.
Yeah. And in that year, you know, I love what you said, because it is a hype cycle.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. For about, you know, 12 to 24 months. Heading into 2022, VCs didn't have a whole lot to talk about, right? 21 was, you know, 22 disastrous. Like,
yeah,
we got to, so show me the money and I'll show you the hype cycle, right?
So, you know, one of the parts of a hype cycle is a lot of attention comes onto a certain technology, which is a good thing. And right. Especially with something like AI, a lot of people start exploring, how can I use this? How can I take advantage of it? So talk about, in vSimple's case, how you guys have thought about incorporating that into your roadmap. What does AI look like in the vSimple product?
Yeah, that's such a great question, because we can't run into anybody without them asking about it, right? It's the nice thing about it is at least it's brought, the hype cycle has brought a lot of attention to it. So it becomes this like, all right, what do we do? Like, how do we do this? We know that it's going to transform everything. We know that it's going to be a part of our future. We just don't know what that means. And so we've been... I'm not going to say we saw it coming, but we saw a lot of venture money start flooding in, and it became this like, okay, that's obviously going to become a thing. And as the money started piling up, you know, and the tools started rolling out, we understood our role. And being a platform, our role is to go out into the world and identify what is the best AI technology that we can pull through and incorporate and ensure that it's been vetted and tested and it's secure, and that the companies, our clients, can take advantage of it responsibly. And so we did just that, and we continue to do that, which is, where can we take AI? And right now it's in our dashboarding. It's in our unique ability to be able to read and place data, give insights, summarize, obviously, these unique places that it really does, what it's supposed to do well. And it's a time saver. There's efficiency gains. There's productivity that's created because of it. But we're not, it's not the, oh, it's going to transform everything tomorrow type technology. It's going to enhance, and it's going to guide, and it's going to get better. And Evan, you said something earlier that's really important, is the fact that for companies to really take advantage of it, they have to centralize their data. Because if it lives all over the place, if you have spreadsheets over here and you communicate in emails, and then you've got project management software, and you've got a CRM, and you've got your ERP, and then you've got some other thing, and quoting tools, and all these other stuff, and this data is all disconnected, AI is not going to do you a whole lot of good. So what our whole position is giving people the place to be able to centralize the data, optimize the workflow, and take advantage of the technology as it continues to grow in value.
Yeah, I got coffee earlier with Mike Davis, and essentially we made a good comparison where you said every company has to be thinking of AI. It's like, basically, when we first saw the cloud come along, yeah, imagine somebody going to a VC or creating a product 2 years after the cloud came out and saying, we're on-prem software. That's what's happening. Mm-hmm. Is if you start a software company and you don't have AI as part of it, you got to question the seriousness of the software, because it's just so intrusive as far as how much productivity and insights and just reasoning and inference these things can do.
Oh, yeah.
With data, that you have to incorporate it in order to be taken seriously in the market, I think, here in 3, 4, 5 years.
100%.
That's the comparison we made. I tried to think of it earlier. We're probably laughing.
We got it. We edited it out. He made it. He found it.
Well, and real quick on that point too, because... there's two sides of a software business. There's the front facing, right? The sales, the marketing, the UX, the UI, the interaction with the platform itself, but there's also the backside, which is the engineering. And we've been utilizing AI and the backside of our platform, continuing to develop our platform and the technology that we have for years now. That's been kind of commonplace. It hasn't reached our client until really the past year, which is this like, oh, okay. Oh, I see how this can really help, right? I've got a communication string of 500 conversations that have gone back and forth for the course of 6 months. Summarize this and tell me what I need to know about it. Because all I want to know is the highlights. Yeah. Those are things that it's easily... Now, what it looks like in the future, I think it's still to be determined because there's a lot of ambiguity, a lot of coming regulation.
Unpredictability. Nobody knows how these things work, actually.
Yeah.
It's kind of funny. You know, these people that OpenAI and many of the other companies that are building kind of the foundational models, they're often asked, why does it spit out an output? And they still don't know. They have behavior that is unexplainable at this point. And so it's hard to build a product, but it's also fun and you have to do it. You know, it's just something that you have to figure out how to incorporate into your product. And it's as much of a research project as it is a development project. I'm finding out.
Absolutely.
Yeah, for sure. Absolutely. Something else I wanted to ask as we kind of talk about the future of vSimple and incorporating AI into the product is to really materialize that for the listeners. So, you know, what your all's platform is doing is centralizing a lot of the workflows and the processes as it relates to, you know, pre-revenue and kind of those processes that come along the way as you're getting to that sale. So just give us a few examples of what those processes look like some of the actual functionality within the platform and, you know, tie that back to what you're saying about the ways that AI is incorporated into each of those, just to really solidify it for them.
Yeah, so we break our platform down, and you guys are getting a little bit of a highlight here because this is brand new for us this year that we're rolling out. We've starting to tease it out. It'll go into the world. I don't know when this is going to be published, but we'll have our new product and kind of what we're pushing out in the world. I think it was third week of February. So we break our product now down into, it's a workflow automation platform at its core, which doesn't mean a whole lot to anybody. Yeah. So it becomes this like, well, how do I utilize that? How do I incorporate that into my organization? And then we started down this path of operating system. That fell on deaf ears because everybody's like, man, that sounds hard, right? Like that just... It's what do I do? How do I do it? Yeah, it's heavy, right? And it's lots of change and lots of, because we're connecting all these departments and now you got all these people that have to agree and meet. And so we decided to break our platform down into two products. We have a CRM product. vCRM Plus is the name of the product. You'll see that being launched. And that's the pre-revenue to order. Right, the management of all of the things that happen within the sales funnel. So from the initial contact to lead, and lead to op, and op to physical, you know, one closed, tying it back to the client. And what's beautiful about what we've created is, and the reason for the plus on the inside, the outside of the CRM, the other side of the other product is vOps. So you have the CRM product and you have the operational product, and there's this continuation because a lot of the CRMs, and Logan, you know this probably more than most, is they're really good databases and they're really good at identifying the sales. But once it becomes an order, it's not us, right? It's like, hey, somebody else's problem. And we saw that being really challenging for most organizations because once it became an order, then it was like, all right, now we're back in spreadsheet hell and email hell and lots of conversations going on all the time, changes all the time. We're not doing that in our financial management system because it's too hard. It's not going to be, it doesn't do workflows well either. And so we saw this need to be able to take it in the actual sales. So think about this. You've got a call that's recorded. Our system physically takes that call, converts that call, identify who the caller is, information about the caller. It's already connected to social, so it identifies that it's Logan. Here's his LinkedIn, stamps that in. Here's now your physical lead. And it automatically does that. And from that, now you're working that lead. You have the information that you had the call on. It summarizes that information. So you get the highlights of the call. It pulls out the 3, 4, 5, or 6 words that might kind of connect other organizations. And then it takes it and it's like, all right, he's one of 7 that are in this organization as a whole that you're trying to attack. Here are the opportunities that you're winning or losing. Here's why, by the way, and here's the time that it takes, here's the effort that it takes, and all of the things from a sales perspective that you really need to do to grow revenue as efficiently and productively as humanly possible with maximum visibility and accountability. And then once you get that order, right, is to be able to take it and work it through. So now you're taking the sales workflows and data, and you're working that now into the operations of the business. So the ops people are working with the salespeople, and it's one centralized environment. So it becomes this, and the ops people, here's the benefit. You start talking about AI, right? All right. They sign the purchase order. Okay, great. Well, where'd they do that? Like, where's the document? There's electronic signature. We have vSign, which is baked into our platform. So the signature actually happens in our environment. It's automatically stamped. And oh, by the way, that purchase order, we can take the information out of that purchase order and we can automatically place data within our environment to ensure that what was the purchase order amount? What was the purchase order number? What was the date? You know, who was the person, right? All these things that you can now track against that allow you to understand, all right, Logan has placed 72 orders with us that for $10,565,000 over the course of the first 3 quarters. He's a pretty valuable person. And oh, by the way, of those orders, look at the processing times. This type of order takes us forever to process. And oh, by the way, our gross margins on that order aren't great either. Are we making any money on those orders? Is that our ideal client? I mean, yeah, $10 million worth of business is a lot of business, and we think Logan should be valuable from the sales side. But when you get into the operations side, maybe Logan's a nightmare, right? And being able to tie those two things together, because most companies are managing from their financials. And that's like coaching a basketball game and not knowing the score till the end of the game. That's like, how do you make adjustments? Where do you go to understand? Where do you press and where do you back off? And are they man to man, or, you know, are we going to run against a zone here? It becomes this, the uncertainty creates lots of bets. And what we're saying is if you take the pre-revenue all the way to cash in a place that's highly optimized and tailored and automated, eliminate all the menial monotonous stuff, bring visibility to the data, the bets that you're making now, I'm not going to say are guaranteed, but the chance that you're going to win with the bets that you make is highly improved.
Making it much more simple, which I assume is why simple is in the name. Yeah. And, you know, I love this business model of kind of unifying different processes within the business to have all of your data within one environment. And it makes so much sense in this kind of now new age of AI to where you can really get a lot of value from that data, from unifying it all and having all of these processes kind of strung together within a single platform. So I think it's really cool what you guys are doing. Nice. When you're talking to your customers about it, what do you pitch as the benefit to them? Like, what is your sales pitch to your customers that when you're saying, here's the ultimate value you're going to get from the vSimple?
Yeah. it depends on the customer. Right?
That's
depends
a good answer.
Depends on the opportunity that we're going after. Because here's where we are. Organizations that we're going after, organizations that are focused on growth, right? That are highly intuitive and they want to be the best. They want to go out and dominate. Like, they want to improve. They want to figure out how to win and win big. And that's part of what our responsibility is. So most of the time it's driven around, once we found that, hey, you're not a status quo company, right? That you are absolutely trying to figure out how to grow your people, grow your value, grow your profits, grow your revenue, right? There is an opportunity at that moment for them to understand what we stand for, which is to help them facilitate that, which is like, yeah, you should eliminate the menial monotonous task, because your employee experience is critical to ensuring that you can retain talent, right? Find me anybody under the age of 30 that wants to sit in a cubicle in the middle of an industrial park and take data out of one system and put it into another. Nobody does, right? Not even under 30. Now it's nobody wants to do that. So it's like, don't have them do that anymore. You hire really smart people to do really smart things, and that's not one of them. So eliminating those things, and then how can we help you focus on revenue, right? How do we help your sales team deliver a better sales experience and to be able to do more, right? Outreach and in the areas that you know where you're more optimized to close deals. Yeah. And then from that, as you get to be able to close more deals and you get to be able to work that with less bodies, your revenue grows, but the cost of doing business does not. So your profit grows. So it becomes this utopian experience. And because we believe in relationships, right? It's this whole, we stand with you and we are for you. This is not, it's not a tool. We're not a vendor. We're a partner. And we, once you sign on with us, as far as contract goes, that is, that's when we just get started, right? Like we're not, oh, you signed a contract. Great. Logan's gone. He was your sales guy. Now you meet so-and-so and such. And oh, by the way, here's your professional service hour contract. And we don't believe in professional service hours. We don't charge for the time that we spend with people because we believe that that is the cost of doing business for us because we want to be with organizations forever, right? Like we feel like with the value we can add day in and day out, week in, week out, month in, month out, quarter in, quarter out, is tremendously valuable to both parties. And it should be instead of, hey, it was a great product and a use and a niche. And 6 months later, something cheaper or better or sexier comes along and you're gone and they're in. And that's not valuable to either party.
For sure. I think that is the winning methodology, especially when it comes to enterprise software, like I was kind of mentioning there. So man, congrats on all the growth to get to this point. It's been awesome to follow. If you're a business owner or somebody that likes keeping up with the entrepreneurial scene in this region, you guys do have a great social media channel. I've kind of followed you guys mostly on LinkedIn. I feel like is where I see a lot of your stuff,
yeah,
but you guys have a really nice, brand voice. I feel like it embodies what you're talking about right there, is what I've kind of seen. So it's a great follow if you want to, see that in action. So before we wrap up here, we're introducing a little bit newer of a section. I put it on the notes is this is going to be kind of a rapid fire focusing more on you as an entrepreneur rather than the business at this point. So these are going to be rapid fire 60 second sort of questions. So the first one I got for you here, if you had one piece of advice you could give an 18-year-old that thinks they'd like to be an entrepreneur, what would it be?
I've got 60 seconds. Is that how this works?
Something like that. Right. Less than a minute.
You better put a time on. All the
you've already spent
my co-founders are going to be laughing. So at 18 years old, I would say, look up what an entrepreneur is, because I think there's a misnomer. I think there's this. It's a glamorized thing that people don't understand. It becomes this like, oh, I want to be an entrepreneur, and the question is why? What are you trying to accomplish? And that goes back to anything that you're doing on this planet. It's like, what's your why? Define it. Yeah. It's like, oh, because I want to make a bunch of money. There's a billion different ways to make money. You don't have to be an entrepreneur to do that. What is it that you're trying to do? So I would encourage every 18-year-old before they decided that to really understand what that means.
To elaborate on that, and this won't make the social clip, but I think that is great advice. And it's advice that really resonates with me. Because I came into UK, I was that 18-year-old that was like, I want to be an entrepreneur, but I didn't know what that meant. I got into a living learning program for entrepreneurship, and I learned very quickly that my idea of entrepreneurship and what entrepreneurship actually is was so vastly different. And I didn't figure it out until I was like, I started a drone photography and videography business in college simply so that I could like get hands-on experience.
Yeah.
And I think that is such great advice to anybody that thinks they want to be an entrepreneur is like, discover what that is and your why behind it.
Yeah.
That's great.
Thanks.
Moving on to this next one. Why have you stayed in this region to build your business as opposed to leaving?
I love this community, right? Like I was born and raised here. This is home. And I think it's underrated. I think that we are still in a position of strength. I think the East Coast, West Coast, Coast period are fantastic places. But at the end of the day, we deal with industries that make things, move things, build things, and account for things. That is the heartbeat of this what we call home, and really the heartbeat of the United States of America. And I'm really proud to be able to facilitate that from a wonderful community.
You said a word there that resonates with me that I recently wrote about, where it's we have a sense of home and family and relationships here that I think is a little different on the coast. And that creates a different type of loyalty and grit and mentorship. And you see that in our community. When people ask, why is Kentucky a great place to build or just to be in general, it's always typically comes back to the people and the relationships. And I think that just causes entrepreneurs to think a little bit differently about how they build their business, but also just loyalty in their relationships. And again, grit, I think, is different when you have, you know, home on your mind versus just this business or this dollar, which oftentimes can happen on the coast when you're not from the coast, but you move there to start a business.
Yeah.
You don't have that sense of, you know, home. I think home is a super important word.
Well, and I know this won't make the clip, but I want to make sure I reiterate it too, because it's so important. When you define your why, that determines what your, where you want to be. When I say that, you said home. Our why is to help others. Right. I mean, we want to build a big organization to help others help themselves, right? Like this whole, hey, we're teaching people, we're guiding people, we're improving people's lives. But we want to build a bunch of wealth so that we can actually impact this community that we live in positively. That's the end goal objective. And it's not so that we can have lots of houses and lots of cars and boats and whatever else, right? Like that, okay, fine, go to the coast, right? I mean, that's where, go raise $100 million round with VCs and pray that you're the 0.001% that actually makes it. Or build an incredibly valuable, enormously valuable business that allows you the unique opportunity to impact people's lives and your community positively. And you can do that here.
Yeah, for sure. So last question here. What is the most contrarian take about building a business that you have?
This is a good one. Contrarian. I would go where everybody else is not. We saw an opportunity as the entire world was taking VC money in 20 and 21, and they were all running towards the exact same thing, which is let's give most of that money to LinkedIn and Facebook and let's run a bunch of ads and let's build a business based on big raises, right? We were running the opposite direction. It's like, hey, we think cash flow positive is the way. We think we want to build relationships over transactions. We want to actually impact these companies' lives positively. We want to be partners. We believe in LTV and net revenue retention. And at the time, we were having conversations with the VCs and they were like, you've lost your mind. Like that, how can we invest in that? They were like, well, how could you not? Like, we're one of a million over here. We're one of one over here. Now, we didn't have proof in the business model at that point. 3 years goes by and we actually have proof that it's like, hey. And then all of a sudden now you see them all coming around where it's like, hey, Evan, you got to be cash flow positive, man. You don't want to count on us. It's like, well, that's not what you told me 2 years ago. You said you had my back. And when I needed more cash, you were right there standing next to me. And then you realize like, hold on a second. No, it really is. It's sound business principles that are going to continue to take over.
Yep. Back to the fundamentals.
Fundamentals.
Sure. That's right. Well, buddy, again, thank you for driving in here to do this face to face. You're just such a great personality to sit down and talk to. And
thanks.
You know, talk likewise about business and community and all those great things. So before we let you go here, tell the audience where they can find more about VSimple, follow you on, you guys on socials or your website, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah. So VSimple.com, that is the best way to follow us. That and LinkedIn. So go to VSimple, LinkedIn, Buddy Bockwig, LinkedIn. You'll be able to find us, and thanks for the nice comments. We spent a lot of time trying to engage the community and ensure that people understand why we're different.
Absolutely. Let's go get some tacos.
Let's go get some tacos.